In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. For 40 days, we have been amazed, celebrating the resurrection of our Lord. The Lord is risen from the dead. Alleluia. Ever since his rising, the Lord has opened the minds of all of his disciples to understand the scriptures and his word. We got to expect him to continue mysteriously to appear and speak to us and then to disappear like he has so many times. But now, this past Thursday, he announced the end of all that and the new beginning of something new. The end of his visibly appearing to us, but the beginning of his remaining in us. Now, in these coming 10 days, when he told us to wait in the city, we begin wondering what, if anything, we should be doing. The hint, if you'll remember, was in those hands when he lifted them up and blessed us before his ascending into heaven. Remember those hands? Because it was wonderful to receive his blessing, but those hands still bore the signs, the wounds of his crucifixion. It was as if he was saying, the gift of salvation is finished, as you can plainly see, but the mission is not. The mission is that his triumph is not complete until it is proclaimed and believed on by every human heart. He said it would still be his mission, but his mission now through us. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so do we remember his words when he said, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Well, recall how we have been remembering his words in these Easter days concerning what he talked about, the vine and the branches. He told us the point there was that being attached to him, we were to go and bear much fruit. Or last Sunday, his command to love one another, and how this love is no mere feeling or emotion, but is his continued mission in the world, of salvation in the world, now through his body, the church. The Father loves the Son because he does the Father's will. The Son loves us because we do as he has commanded. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Well, today, we see what the first disciples thought they needed to do during this time of waiting. What more can you do but have a voters' meeting? They had to elect another man to fill Judas's place. So that's what they did. And God blessed it. But today we want to recall those last words that he spoke in the upper room in his high priestly prayer to the Father. These words: sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so have I sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself so that they also may be sanctified in truth. When he said, I consecrate myself, it's actually the same word translated to sanctify. To sanctify means to set apart for a holy use or purpose, to be holy. Jesus set himself apart for his great work of salvation through his holy death and resurrection. And that salvation is for all people. And therefore, when he sanctifies us, he sets us apart for his continuing mission of bringing that saving repentance and faith to people everywhere. And he does that through our witnesses. You are witnesses of these things. We are to be sanctified in truth. He says to the Father, your word is truth. And so we think about truth. We always know that if anybody says they have no sin, the truth is not in him. It is the truth about everything from our creation to our sin, to our conversion, to our faith, to our perseverance, and our promised resurrection to eternal, to new life. Now in the courtroom, you know, you will recall, people are asked to tell the truth. They are put under oath to tell the truth. And then it's defined even more, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Well, the whole truth is not half truth, not just sort of truth. Everything, whether we think it speaks to our benefit or not, nothing but the truth. Nothing means nothing false. To not mix the truth with lies. Well, this is how we are to receive and to treat God's word, and also our preaching, teaching, and witnessing to his word. The whole truth and revelation of God, not allowing it to be mixed with any contradicting word. And it's happening. It continues to happen. And maybe even we do it. The world is constantly contradicting God's word. Creation or evolution? Sin or just a little error? Faith alone or works required? The resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come, or just nothing? The end. Look at how many contradicting philosophies and practices want to grow up among us like weeds. Sorry to say, for its popularity, the ordination of women to the pastoral ministry because we're advanced beyond the superstitions and social norms of the Apostle Paul's time. And then we need to mention the whole homosexual agenda, from serving as pastors to marriage itself. The loosening of St. Paul's warnings against unworthy reception in the Lord's Supper. The early church, you remember, would eventually close the doors for communion for Christians only, called closed communion. How many want to refine it as only close communion? Which always makes me think of close but no cigar. Well, we'll find out again at our district mission, district convention, because once again that idea has come up, and we'll take account and see how many want to just open the doors. How many want to redefine it as only close communion, which leads to the leaving of the doors wide open and exercising no spiritual discipline at all. It's a dangerous thing, the apostle tells us, for someone to receive the Lord's body and blood in an unworthy manner, meaning not in faith. To continue in Jesus' word. What does that mean? Well, it means to know it, first of all. It means to believe it and to follow it, even and especially in times when it's not popular with others or even not popular with ourselves. The Word of God. The Word of God doesn't need our help, doesn't need our additives to make it more acceptable. It's the Holy Spirit working through that word that causes people to repent of their objections and believe what the word says. In the resurrection of our Lord, he has been teaching us that it means his ongoing mission of calling sinners to repentance and giving them the gift of saving faith. In these resurrection days, he does that through his body, the Holy Church throughout the world. In these days, since the day of Pentecost, we receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, making us his witnesses to the ends of the earth. See yourself as called to and equipped for this task. In whatever your vocation or station in life, in big ways or in small ways, we're not of the world anymore, but are sent into the world to bring the light of eternal life to all who will believe. God grant the continued growth of his church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.